oh, wow, he's going to tell all those fucking crazy drunk stories. And then I kind of got into my regular routine where I'd hear Ric Flair on, I guess, Wednesday morning.
Right.
And then slowly over time, I just noticed that it was a day late. And then it got to be where it was Friday. And then now it's just like it doesn't even come on. And then every time he's on, he's drunk and he's with David Manning. And now I don't even know if he'll do another one. Do you have any info?
I don't, but, you know, CBS, they like their stuff on a regular basis. They have a sales team that helps sell those shows. And if you're not creating those, you know, you're not creating revenue for CBS, doesn't bode well for you, my friend. I'm sorry to say.
Why does he fuck up every single thing he does in his life? I mean, he really just does.
I think else. The Nature Boy needs to do some pre-planning. He really does. Because you know when you're going out of town, you have to work it out with Conrad so that you can put a couple shows in the can and have interviews and make sure that's happening. And I'm sure Conrad probably says, hey, Nate, why don't we schedule to, you know, to do a podcast, and we'll do a couple and we'll turn it in. We'll turn it into CBS podcasting over at play.it, and we'll have it all ready to go and everybody will be happy. And it's just not happening. And
I don't know.
I mean, if I'm on the road with you, if I have to call it in, I'm going to call it in. You know what I mean? And
I bet he schedules it and then he just doesn't answer. I bet he's like just, you know, drunk. And then when they're together, he gets him drunk too. It's just all this drunk stuff going on.
I don't know.
You can't do one show a month. That's embarrassing. It pisses me off because I want to hear it. Yeah.
I know. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Cast, and we are talking about Ric Flair and the lack of podcasts that are coming from Woo Nation on play.it. Just a little bit of a plug there for those guys, because they don't need it. We need it, if anything. I tell you what we do need. We need you to subscribe to our show. They're ProWrestlingCast.com. If you're listening to the show, we do appreciate you pressing play. Thank you so much for being a subscriber and listening to the show. Don't forget to spread the word of Pro Wrestling Cast to your friends and your family and your dog. If your podcast dog likes podcasts, or even your podcast cat, because we know that they do listen to wrestling podcasts when you're away.
Mine does.
Feel free. Yeah, well, mine does. My cat loves our podcast,
obviously.
So feel free to share it with them at prowrestlingcast.com. The website has got a bunch of great archive shows and videos there for you. The thing you can do too is also support our show there, like so many of you did during WrestleMania weekend. Go ahead and click on the link to WWE.com. There you can get WWE Network by clicking there, and it's free. The first month is free for new subscribers. So what are you waiting for? We can also hook you up with great deals on WWE Shop. Every single day there is a sale, whether it be 30% off tees, buy one, get one, so much more. So why pay the full price for t-shirts? You know that the WWE is coming to your town anyway. So instead of paying the extremely high prices for merchandise, why don't you go ahead and plan ahead, Ric Flair, and purchase your merchandise through us there at ProWrestlingCast.com. Last but not least, our friends at High Spots. We have great High Spots links. We're going to hear a promo of the week coming up from the man himself, the Iron Sheik. He's done a few shoots, I'm thinking. And I'm thinking you want to check that out. Also, the late, great Balls Mahoney is featured in several DVDs and digital shoots that you can purchase and listen to and hear what all has transpired in ECW.
You got to see the one he did with New Jack. It was obviously kind of staged, but it was.
We talked about that on the show before, for sure. The other thing too that you can check out is the monthly subscription box from High Spots. It's just $14.99 a month, and you can check that out, and then get a great wrestling box surprise every single month in the mail. It's like Christmas every month when you go ahead and you subscribe to the wrestling box, and that is courtesy of our friends at High Spots. Yep. And last but not least, Amazon.com. So go ahead. If you know you're going to shop for Amazon stuff anyway, it would be great if you clicked our link, and that way we can get a little bit of a tip in our tip jar from you. We would appreciate that. It doesn't cost you any more. It just makes sure that we keep the show going and helps us with our production costs. And we'd like to thank Amazon, a day one supporter of Pro Wrestling Cast.
Yep.
And now, without any further ado, on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast. It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up. My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
I have no idea why Ric Flair does not have more advanced planning for his podcast.
I think really it's because he's not. It would, because his whole life has been a string of situations where he's not taking risks. I hate to badmouth the guy, so I don't know why I keep starting. I'm starting to do that so much.
No, we don't exactly know why, but I would think that he would have some more advanced planning, you know, done in that case.
I think this is the type of thing that's difficult to do. I don't understand why. I work two jobs and have a married life, and I can find time to do it. I don't know, maybe. But I mean, especially if you're on the road all the time, wouldn't you want to like call in and do a show to break up the monotony? I don't know.
Whatever. Well, it seems to me that Rick, you know, he should have some, you know, sometimes he has to go into a studio, sometimes not. I mean, he could simply just call in over the phone. I don't see why he couldn't just do it over the phone.
Like if he's driving in the car, why don't you just call in? And I mean, he's on the phone all the time. I noticed from the beginning there had some weird production values. And I didn't know if that was because of, you know, Conrad or if that was Rick just, you know, putting him in sticky situations where he had to call in and then they had to do the show kind of in a weird situation. But they have had some weird audio times on the show where I thought, you know, the audio is kind of weird. And Mike, I remember when Kevin Von Erich called in on the phone, that I couldn't even hear. I couldn't even understand what was happening. I mean, Kevin Von Erich talks very funny, as we learned at the Hall of Fame, but I couldn't even listen to that one. I knew we were in trouble when they were real drunk and they were interviewing Kevin Sullivan and talking about his dick and all this stuff. And I thought, man, these guys are going to get in a lot of trouble. And they started kind of slowly revealing that they had. But whenever he's on the show and he says he's not, definitely not drunk, that's usually a sign he is.
That's a tell. That is a tell. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Cast. Every single week, we deliver you live and uncensored commentary and news regarding the world of professional wrestling. Of course, I am your wrestling fan, lifelong wrestling fan, Mr. Aljon Go, joined by our man of the hour, the man with a glove of injustice, lead-lined coal miner's glove, the wrestling heel commentator, Mr. Stephen Anthony. Sir, it's been a crazy week in wrestling.
It's been a crazy week in wrestling. You know, there have been a lot of really good wrestling matches the last 2 weeks, in the 2 weeks since WrestleMania. Obviously, the Friday takeover into WrestleMania, into Invasion Attack, the Evolve show that happened over the weekend as well. And the matches that we saw on Raw more recently have been good. And Lucha Underground's been putting out some. There's been tons of strong matches across the board, some of the best matches of the year. Well, the two best matches I've seen so far. That's not true. I keep forgetting that Tanahashi Okada is the best match of the year so far. Everybody, just to let you know, if you want to watch it, go ahead. It's about a 45-minute long match from January. But other than that, we had Nakamura against Sami Zayn that everybody loved, and I saw this incredible Will Ospreay Kushida match for the belt in New Japan. Both of those happen pretty quick back to back. And I mean, those are both, I mean, a week apart, but those are two pretty amazing matches.
Mm-hmm. We also had a loss in the ECW world. We'll talk about that and so much more on the program. Let's go ahead and launch into This Week in Wrestling News.
This Week in Wrestling News.
Sad news, April 12th, 2016, we have a death in the family of the ECW brand, ECW original Balls Mahoney, spending the last few years of his life working for independent promotions, Jonathan Reichner, born April 11th, 1972, New Jersey native, died at the age of 44 there on April 12th. Of course, you know him synonymous with ECW, as well as the rebirth of ECW, the WWE version of it. One of his more infamous spots, doing the strip poker with Maria Kanellis. I think that was probably one of his more shining moments in the ring. He also went one-on-one with John Cena, for those of you that can remember. Was Vaguely. Trained by Abdullah Singh, trained at the tender age of 15. Smoky Mountain Wrestling alumni, and then, of course, known for his hardcore style. I think also, you know, teaming with Spike Dudley. There's a yeah. lot of stuff that can be said about Balls Mahoney. I really enjoyed his work. I thought he was a really great, you know, ECW personality, wrestling personality, very candid during his shoot videos. Steven, what are some of your thoughts about Balls Mahoney's passing?
I think Balls Mahoney's it's symbolic of the overall kind of scary thing that ECW kind of is starting to represent. You know, ECW is slowly starting to represent a countercultural kind of, you know, experiment in heavy drug use. When I see guys like New Jack and Sandman, you know, they look pretty bad to me. Axelrod's passing happened. The Shaw passed away a few months before that, and now Balls Mahoney has passed away. You know, there have been other guys that have passed away too. Chris Candido, I wouldn't lump in with him. You can lump in Louis Spicoli. And some guys should be dead, like Perry Saturn. That was a pretty wild locker room. You know, a lot of guys doing heavy drugs, not smoking weed and taking pills and drinking, but doing acid and cocaine and things of that nature. So I think it's really sad, because Balls was a really pretty darn good worker. He came up as Boo Bradley in Smoky Mountain, which is kind of Smoky Mountain's pretty cool. It's like a throwback to the territory times one last time, you know, and he did pretty good there. He was going to be Santa Claus, and that lasted, I think, a show or two in WWF. And then he became Balls Mahoney, and he tagged with Axelrod, and then he tagged with Spike Dudley. That was actually a really good tag team there. I think that's what he's probably best known for, Al John, is his double flaming table matches against the Dudley Boys, the future Hall of Famer Dudley Boys, one of the best tag teams ever. And they did actually win the belts from them a couple of different times. I don't really know what else to say about him other than it's really sad because he just kind of fell into those same traps all those guys did. And none of the originals were able to make the transition to, you know, like Booker T made the transition, you know, to WWE style. And, you know, Daniel Bryan made the transition from where he was at to WWE style. But none of those guys figured out a way to do it. Certainly yeah. not Sabu. I guess Van Damme would be your one example. But
I mentioned by the way that he debuted. I think he debuted at Abdullah Singh at the age of 15.
Yeah.
In 1987, but he was trained by Larry Sharp. But
right.
I think the thing about Balls, I thought he was a great character. I thought he was a lot of fun. Every time he came on the ring, I actually was, especially during the reboot of ECW, because there are not very many good moments in the ECW reboot. They're not.
Tough. Very many. Daddy. Yeah.
But Balls Mahoney coming out in and entertaining fans, giving the shtick, I thought he was always quite entertaining. And I put that Balls Mahoney moment, you know, it wasn't a wrestling moment, but I thought it was great. I put that up there with like the Big Show and Ric Flair hardcore tax match that they had. I mean, this is how much the new ECW had in terms of
Ric Flair was one of the best wrestlers in ECW.
Oh yeah, can you imagine Dino saying that? I mean, that's just we should do the best moments of ECW by our account in the original ECW.
The best moment of ECW ever is Raven and Stevie Richards versus the Pitbulls 2 out of 3 falls. I already know that.
There you are. We're okay, and our show is done. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Good night.
That's the only match they had that was good. Good night.
Good night.
I watched those shows back, and they kind of sucked. You know, obviously, Benoit was. Oh, geez.
You said it. The gentleman whose name that shall not be mentioned.
He had a bunch of 4-star matches. I don't know how to not say his name. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's a good person. I do think he probably got concussions to the point where he turned into a murderer. You know, I'm not saying that's not his fault. Let's all vote on whether or not. No, you know, Guerrero Malenko is something to be remembered. Mike Awesome against Masato Tanaka is something to be remembered. Okay. But all in all, ECW doesn't leave any kind of great legacy for me. And it's sad. And what's happening now is all these guys are dying, and they don't have anything to show for it. I know he went to Puerto Rico and started doing shows there, you know, because he kind of had to. It's a really sad story. I will say, when he was Abuda Singh, he took on Abdullah the Butcher, and they start the match with a fireball, and he throws this huge fireball by accident. I mean, it actually burned Abdullah a little bit, like for real. Mm. And Abdullah did the match anyway, and because, you know, Abdullah doesn't job. I don't know if you know that, but I don't think I've ever seen that happen, except when he was killed in an electric chair, and then no sold that. But there's a lot of good Balls Mahoney moments. He had good matches with – he had a lot of good tag matches. He was actually a very, very respectable worker. In 98, 99, you know, he really held down the fort. You know, they started having harder times. But at the end, Al John, it was really an idea of – you know, they started bouncing checks in 98 from what I understand. They started bouncing checks real early. And he stuck with them. But I just want the legacy of it to be a little better represented, because it's starting to get really sad.
It really is. You know, we're all getting older. Our hearts go out to the family of Balls Mahoney and all of the great fans there. Once again, it is a tremendous loss, and I was very sad when I heard the news of Balls passing. But having said that, moving on, the Raw report. Shane McMahon decides to stick around for yet another week. How about that? Do we have any other news on how long Shane's going to be hanging around?
I don't know, but he went to Europe. I think that might have something to do with the Undertaker whole thing. You know, the Undertaker was going, and then he wasn't. Then he was going to do 3 shows, and he was going to do 2. Then he's doing 0. So Triple H made the trip, and Shane made the trip too. And I don't know. It looks like Shane's – I mean, talk about not making any sense. But, I mean, I guess people invest, you know, some interest in this show from a storyline standpoint. You know, I certainly wouldn't do that. I think that's a mistake. You know, you're just setting yourself up for failure if you do that, because these guys don't know what the hell they're doing as far as writing. Although they do book some good matches, you know, Cesaro against Owens. You can't really go wrong with that. And AJ against Sami Zayn, you can't really go wrong with that. You give him 15 minutes. Fuck it. That's all I need. You know, well, that's what I'm looking for.
I tell you, the internet is clamoring. We had a great, an interesting Raw this past Monday. You know, the stipulation was thrown out the window. You know, Shane McMahon was put in charge of Raw after all. Right. A lot of fans are kind of split down the middle, in my opinion, of whether or not that was good or not. Because, of course, it made the match kind of feel like it didn't really matter whether he won or not. But, I mean, it was an interesting way to kind of keep Undertaker there, to say the least. But, you know, of course, you know, you suspend your disbelief. Go ahead.
Something's happening with the Undertaker. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to break news, but something is going on with the Undertaker. excuse me, you know, they had that moment where it looked like he was talking to Shane in the ring, mime style. Then he was telling people backstage he was retiring for real, the odd booking. And then now the European tour, he's off and on as the days go by. And then he just doesn't go to Europe to do the show. I mean, something's going on with The Undertaker. Maybe he'll take a year off and be okay again next year, but it's very odd.
Mm-hmm.
Very odd.
Well, I'm all about the fresh matchups. I did like Shane. I mean, you know, Shane seemed to me is just an interesting authority figure. He wasn't being an a-hole. He was just being, you know, good old Shane Mack, Shane O'Mac, just going up and down the hallways, making friends, saying, hey, buddy, you're in a match. Comes up with this great four-way for the number one contendership for the World Heavyweight title in the match. Right before the match, Zayn gets knocked out. And lo and behold, you know, we have people there to take his place. Cesaro, which is great. So Cesaro, Owens, you know, has a great moment there at the very end, you know, of the show. I thought it was great. And of course, at the very end of the day, AJ Styles is there, which is great.
So Well, that was 2 weeks ago, and then of course they had the Bray Wyatt turn.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry. I'm going back in time here. But yeah,
well, they're almost like the same show. It's kind of been kind of so bizarre. It's like Shane's in control, and then they're pushing all the internet guys.
Yeah, you're right.
They're pushing Sami Zayn and AJ and Cesaro and, you know, everybody we want to see, and Enzo and Cass are cutting promos. And well, the saddest thing is that Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt had their tag match, and you could see that Wyatt was going to be a face, you know, and you could feel it, you know, just the way he pointed who did he pin? Did he pin Del Rio? And yeah, and he points at Sheamus, like, Roman, you take care of Sheamus, and the crowd could just feel he was going to be a baby face. And now we hear he's injured too.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. Yeah, as we go over that, I mean, Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt, unlucky tag team partners, defeated Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio. How about that? And then, of course, there's a little bit of an injury. I don't know what to say about that.
Know how long he's going to be out, but they've admitted he is hurt and he's not in Europe. So it's obviously not good.
I really like Cesaro and his, you know, his character, that kind of assassin type character coming down, interacting with Kevin Owens, being a little bratty, you know, the Miz and Maryse, being ultra bratty. Of course, Maryse is out there. I think she's doing great. I'm happy to see Maryse in there, add to the heel factor of the Miz, I think, which is really cool. And I really dig that.
I'm not a big Maryse fan, though. I couldn't care less. I don't think the audience remembers her. It's really funny. They're like, who is this?
Well, regardless, I think it's cool. Titus O'Neil, I thought, was funny because he was featured in a in a Universal Studios contest spot.
Well, you know, I heard a JTG from Crime Time, that awful fucking racist name. Crime Time. JTG has written another book that you can buy online for $2. And he was being interviewed by a podcast, not ours, unfortunately, and said, yeah, Titus has had some other incidents. He's like, I wasn't surprised he got suspended. That sounded like the correct punishment. So apparently he knows. I don't know if he's trying to bury him or he knows him or what it is, but he said that, you know, he felt like Titus had a history of these types of misbehaving, immature incidents. I just thought that was kind of strange. So just shed some light onto it. And maybe a man's like, hey, I'm tired of fucking with you and blah, blah, blah. And maybe that's why I don't know. Maybe there's more to that.
Well, just when you thought.
Because it never made sense.
No. Just when you thought that Raw guest stars were a thing that was better left to the era of 2012, Dr. Phil comes into the picture. And in fact, doesn't do a bad job, in my opinion. I mean, yes, I mean, it is a Raw type segment. But of course, Dr. Phil convincing Charlotte that he needs to dump his dad because he's a bad influence.
Right. Well, so. Creepy. No, actually, that was not, I didn't think he was terrible.
He remembered the wrestler's names. That was good.
Well, I mean, he's a professional. You know, he's used to TV, so that's pretty good. Like the funny thing is the movie guys, they aren't used to TV, so they get really all confused and shit. The guys that, like, do TV shows like the Entourage guy. What's the guy's name? And he called it Summerfest.
Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven's not used to being on like a live kind of studio audience show anyway, whereas Dr. Phil is. So I think that helped. I mean, I didn't think that was good that he was on the show, but it didn't offend me or anything. I really think like the last two shows plus NXT TakeOver and the last NXT show and WrestleMania, those and SmackDown, like they've been really good for 2 weeks straight. Knock on wood, you know. I think maybe they're doing some experiments right now to test a direction, but I do like the direction. It makes no sense to change in charge. I would assume that Shane would eventually go back, but I'd always heard that he might, you know, nobody really knew what was happening, you know, and there was some truth to the things he was talking about, you know, and the lockbox and all this. But it was funny the way McMahon came out 2 weeks ago and said, well, give me back the lockbox key. I was like, okay. Like, it was just a strange payoff to an
end. I know, it was strange. It's like they wrote that thing and it decided to be a non sequitur after all. I tell you what they're experimenting with. Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows deep in the throes of a tag team tournament.
Yeah.
As Teddy Long would say, he's so fond of tag teams. I think we just need to pull up a montage of tag team matches that the man has always announced there on SmackDown. But
get ready for tonight's main event tag team match. In a tag team match. Teaming up in a six-man tag team match.
Yes, yes, yes.
Got myself a winner. Got myself a
winner. Anyway, there are thousands of them.
Yes, thousands of them. Anderson Gallows came in, and there was a recent discussion online about how WWE is using the hashtag Bullet Club when the Bullet Club is, that's technically not, you know, who they are. In fact, they are going nameless right now.
Well, as I understand it, New Japan owns the name The Bullet Club, so they can't use it. I mean, the crowd can chant Bullet Club, and we can all say, hey, they're The Bullet Club. But, you know, I just watched The Bullet Club in a six-man tag match on Invasion Attack. They're called The Bullet Club still. And they sell a lot of T-shirts. And, you know, I understand. I get it. They're trying to get some, what did you call it? Click through?
They're trying to get clickbait. You know, they're using that term that people know. They know that hashtag Bullet Club is a legit term. And even though they may not have acknowledged the name on the actual program itself, the announcers say, you know, oh, it's Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows and blah, 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 blah. They did not say Bullet Club, at least to my knowledge.
They did not, from what I understand. You know, I don't, you know, to put hashtag Bullet Club is strange anyway. I mean, when you come out, you would go, Michael Cole would exclaim, oh my God, it's the Bullet Club, you know, to kind of introduce them as the baddest asses of all. But, you know, he went back to, Gallows went back to his old name, and, they're not wearing face paint, and the announcers didn't call him the Bullet Club. And, you know, Carl Anderson's a good worker. I wish them the best. But without the face paint, without the name the Bullet Club, it's probably going to be not as successful as people think. They'll be a solid tag team, you know, but they're kind of a tag team in the style of the Andersons. You know, just kind of boring.
Right. Well, I think this will be a really good time to shake up the tag team division. They seem to be devoting this next month of programming to tag teams, and I'm okay with it, you know?
Well, I think they need to push Enzo and Cass, you know? I think Enzo and Cass, I was a little upset with when they came out because Cole immediately said, oh, God, these guys. He said something like that, and I just had the feeling like Vince told them, you know, that's always Vince talking and trying to bury people ahead of time. But, and, you know, they are like a – you know, hey, kind of guys, hey, kind of annoying Northeast guys. But the fact of the matter is the guy can talk.
And yeah, they're over.
Yeah, so they're over, they're over, you know.
Yeah. Did you
and
see?
They did 158 straight jobs and were very over. So that's the type of over you can't crush like they
That's right. To, so. I think they're the new version of D-Generation X, folks, or the New Age Outlaws, I should say. Moreover, they have a great rap. They did discuss that at some length with Stone Cold Steve Austin a couple weeks ago on this podcast. And
good podcast.
I think it's great. Wonderful podcast. Great. You know, I am just a big fan of theirs. And once again, proof that hard work will get you to where you need to be. I think this team is over, and I cannot wait to hear more from Big Cass and Enzo Amore, the Skywalker Mike Talker t-shirt, jacket was just wonderful. I thought it was great. But the lightsaber, I thought it was killer. Another great highlight of this past Raw, Styles and Zayn put on a great match. 1645, they give them a lot of time on this one.
Yeah, Zayn's finally gotten on a roll now. So now he's had the ladder, the Nakamura match, the ladder match, and a Raw main event in 2 weeks. So, you know, some or 10 days or something like that. He's had a lot of good stuff in a row. So, so kudos to him. I think he's probably finally gotten on the right track. He's got a brilliant theme song. We're both musicians that listen to a lot of music, and we know how terrible wrestling theme songs are. I was listening to that our show the other day with the WrestleMania theme, the one with the heavy-duty keyboards in it and the really weird guitar. And, you know, there's, you know, for him to have that, for Sami Zayn to have a good theme song that's catchy, it's pretty amazing. Nakamura's new song is really good too. It was actually number one in the charts for the soundtrack stuff.
Hey, look, Jim Johnson's doing phenomenal work. I've always believed in his work. I think he does amazing work with theme music, and you know, it's. I think that's great. But yes, the cheesy WrestleMania theme that goes down in history as being completely cheesy. It's Velveeta.
Nah, 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 nah. The one that goes na 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 na.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was basically like a ESPN bumper right there. You know, had that crazy synth keyboard. Yeah.
If it's 88, it's the bumper, right? But I mean, you can even use that in 90 or 91.
No, you couldn't. It's that dated. That dated. The other thing that I thought was quite interesting was Chris Jericho and the highlight reel. With Dean Ambrose. I guess we know now that Chris Jericho's moved on to work a program with Dean Ambrose. That's interesting.
Boy, they got some really fucking good matches getting lined up for the next. I'm thinking the next pay-per-view is going to be awesome. I got Natalya against Charlotte, which I already wanted to see. AJ Reigns. I guess they're going to do Owens Cesaro, right? And then you got some other shit. But then you got this one. You got... you know, basically some workers that they're going to let go out there and finally kind of like they'll probably give them a good, you know, amount of time to kind of, and also it's a fresh matchup, you know, and Jericho's kind of on a bit of a roll lately, wouldn't you say?
I think he's doing great work. You know, I think you know, him and his $400 scarf are in great.
Let's talk about the scarf. Yeah, he wanted. Yeah. I thought that was funny in the Ambrose stuff. You know, I mean, the scarf thing is funny. You know, Jericho told the story about how he hates scarves. Vince McMahon hates scarves and all that. And then Ambrose was talking about the scarf. But you know, Ambrose needs a pay per view win. He lost to Lesnar, Triple H, and Reigns. So let's go ahead and maybe give him one little win. You know,
if Jericho that's okay. Put him over. I know it. Yeah, that was also a great match. You mentioned Charlotte and Natalya, resulting in Natalya's win by way of DQ. And that will be another barn burner of a match. I think, you know, for people that wanted something different, that wanted fresh matchups, boy, do you have it. Last 2 weeks of Raw have been great. And it is a great way for the company to change positions, to make that pivot into the new superstars. They're going to do great, or they're going to fail on their own accord, but they have decided to make them front and center. So
It'll be quality stuff. You know, these guys are primed, ready to go. AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, you know, all these cats, you know, it's time for them to just blow it up. And then, you know, because the month after this pay-per-view, I'm sure you'll probably start seeing the Cenas and Rollinses and Ortons. Not that Rollins will be back. He'll be back later. But I think Cena and Orton you might see in 2 months when the next pay-per-view comes. Maybe.
Sure.
I'm not sure about that, but
it's just a thought for sure. Moving from WWE news, we actually have a wellness policy infraction this week.
Two. What did I do? Did y'all kid? Me?
Yeah.
What was it?
No. Well,
what did I get? What did y'all get me for?
Yeah, we got you. We got you for using a substance. Now, the WWE wellness policy was broken by several superstars this week. Steven, you're familiar with the wellness policy,
right? I am familiar with it.
Right. So, so we had Adam Rose getting
wow. Yeah. Yeah. You know, they never have big name guys failing the wellness policy. They did Hornswoggle 6 months back or so. And now they're doing Adam Rose, which is kind of sad because Adam is my age, which means he's old for a wrestler and who's not over. I mean, if he was over, it wouldn't matter, but he's not over. And this will probably spell the end for him, and he'll be on the indies. And he's got a young child with, disabilities. It's pretty sad for me to hear this news. And then what's the guy's name from the Ascension? Heathcliff? What is his name?
Connor.
Connor. Okay. Connor is a filthy drug user and he should.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry. No, I don't know what Connor. I don't
you
know.
You make this show harder for me, Steven. Every week you make it hard for me.
I think that Connor has probably just been taking some PEDs and he'll probably be back, but Rose, I'm kidding, of course. I mean, all those guys are probably, never mind. My point is the low card guys get popped. You know, Captain Drugathon Viper ever since he had this, the 15th strike and they took one back, he's never gotten popped. You know, none of those guys ever did. Or look at a guy like Scott Steiner. How did he never get popped, you know? I mean, Steiner's a big bad apple, you know? He's doing a lot of wacky shit. But I don't know. I think this is their way of showing, hey, we have a policy intact, and people are getting suspended, and we're going to go through and make sure that, and I know that they have a better policy than the NFL. They are actually ahead of the curve on so many things versus the NFL. So I will give them the benefit of the doubt. I just hope that my man Leo Kruger isn't as in much bad shape as I think he might be. And I don't know anything about the Ascension. I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
They're not even a poor man's Road Warriors. They're like a poor man's Demolition fan.
Yeah, they're having a hard time. But they are in the tag team, you know, matchups.
They lost. They lost immediately. They lost like in the first 4 seconds.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They highlight him there.
They announced it. The wind blew, and then they were out of the tournament. I mean, that literally is kind of what happened. The wind blew, and they were on the ground jobbing to probably like a big – who did they lose to, Enzo and Cass? There you go. Those guys haven't won a match in 7 years. Not a good sign. These are hard times for Ascension, Daddy.
It's hard times, Daddy. You know it's hard times when the Cologne brothers took your job, Daddy.
The Cologne brothers somehow are getting pushed ahead of you, Daddy. And Daddy, that's hard times.
That's hard times. Exactly. Hard times is when the workers, they're the mid-card workers, are getting busted for PEDs. Now, that's hard times.
Hard times are when you got like 10 tag teams that are better than you. And you're in bad shape for that. That's hard. Mercy. That's really hard times.
That's really hard times.
And you can't go to TNA because nobody knows who you really are. And they put all their equipment in a closet, Daddy.
Well, speaking of TNA, you brought it up. The woes continue as TNA is being moved from their office in downtown Nashville.
Well, hold on a second. What? Oh, okay. Well, hold on. They're moving some cameras in here. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, I got an extra room. And really, we let the cat kind of have the room because you know how cats are. You've got cats. You know, and you know, I got my books in there and stuff, but we're gonna have a couple of the cameras in here. And some of the camera guys are going to stay in there too, so because they're a little behind on paying. Now, I'm sorry, but look, they've had some problems lately. Now, we know where Cumming Station is, Aljon.
Yes.
And that's actually a very expensive area to have anything. So, you know, I know that that was Dixie's office, like, before she even had TNA. So, all I can tell you is, whoever it is that wants to buy TNA, they want over 50% ownership. And I don't know if they have any options left other than to agree. And at that point, Dixie won't really be in charge anymore. She'll just own 49% of it. I can tell you, I know Dixie Carter personally. She's a very, very smart, very kind, nice person who's gotten involved in a very, very dirty, somewhat vile business. And no one shot straight with her from the beginning, especially people like Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan. And she never really got a fair shot at it, you know, and it looks like she's going to lose it, you know. And a lot of people, you know, even a guy like Billy Corgan now, who's a micro celebrity. I mean, I'm sorry. He's a celebrity, you know, and, you know, he can work his way into the situation. But she's not Bill Watts or anything. And I think she was just put in a bad position all along, you know. I feel bad for her because she is a very nice person. She has a very nice family. And she, sincerely, I mean that, you know, we talk bad about them a lot, but we're talking bad about the bad booking and the, you know, the train murder and the Billy Corgan coming out to announce a TNA Divas match. It's like, Billy Corgan's what? Yeah. You know, it's just the Christmas tree match or whatever that was.
Yeah.
With the Christmas tree hanging in.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. It's definitely pretty rough days. Talk about hard times. That is the epitome of hard times, Daddy.
That is really, for real, that's hard times. Hard times are when they evict you from Cumming Station.
A computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time.
Mm-hmm.
That really is hard time.
I tell you. But I think they had a few missed opportunities as a business, you know, to rebrand, to start over fresh, to have a, you know, a fresh start. And it's just a shame, you know, what is going on. At the end of the day, we all want everybody to have jobs, and it's not that the show had been bad, you know, as of late.
Not more recently, no.
I mean, they're doing what they can with what they have, and it's still a very good wrestling show. So please seek it out where you can. I mean, I know it's all on TNA Wrestling's website. All the shows are there. So, you know, please check it out. But, you know, make it a point to at least set your DVRs to record TNA on Pop if you get that service, and try to help them out with the ratings, you know, by the very least.
Because they've lost their replay time slot, so they're under 300,000 total viewers again.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we're talking, they used to have over 1 million. They had that steadily for years. I don't know how we got to this point. I'm trying to. It happens so fast, you know. Old bookers say when things are great, you can put the shittiest thing on and it'll still draw. And when things are bad and gone downhill, there's nothing you can do to stop it. And there's just nothing they can do to stop it. They had 3 or 4 straight months of good stuff with Matt Hardy as heel champion. Not great stuff. It was very good and very passable. Mm-hmm. Probably more interesting than Ring of Honor, but it doesn't matter. It's too late.
Yeah, it's too late. It's too late.
Too late.
It's a shame. Buddy. Well, speaking of something different, you did check out another pay-per-view finally. And what are your thoughts on the Invasion?
Invasion Attack was in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Invasion Attack was very interesting. When we last saw New Japan on a big stage, they were in front of 20-something thousand. Nakamura was facing AJ Styles. That seems like an ancient history now, doesn't it? Hmm. And you know what I saw and what I said was, okay, the bookers, just like I said about WrestleMania, the booking has to be flawless. They have to figure something out. AJ and Nakamura and the tag team champion portion of the Bullet Club, who are now, you know, Anderson and Gallows, they are gone. Wrestle Kingdom was the best pay-per-view of the year so far. People want to say the NXT Dallas was. It's not even close. They had literally 3 straight matches that were 4.5 to 5 stars back to back, and they could come right after each other. So what they did in Invasion Attack is, you know, first, like we've talked about, their first issue as a booker, what's your problems? Okay, AJ Styles is gone. Okay, Kenny Omega is the new leader of the Bullet Club. Now they're called the Bullet Club Elite. We push him strong. He does his funny, wacky promos, his YouTube stuff with the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks are given a bigger position. Boom. Bullet Club taken care of. Now you have to replace Nakamura. Folks, you can't replace Shinsuke Nakamura. It's not possible. So what you have to do is start building up other people. Now, the new champion is Naito. And he was pushed about 2 years ago as the up-and-coming babyface. He had won the G1 in 2013 to set up the title match at Wrestle Kingdom. He didn't really deliver as a babyface to any degree that they were hoping for, so they had to slowly turn him heel over the last year. They did that very effectively, and his group basically kind of slowly put together with Evil and Bushi. All of this sort of you know, started happening, and he used a lot of the ideas that he saw in Mexico with the wrestler Rush. So he basically formed this group, a Mexican group called Los Ingobernables, and he did it in Japan and got over as a heel that was a likable tweener. Goes in with Okada and has a superb main event, not a five-star match, but a superb one. Lots of interference, and wins the title to a huge fucking pop. The crowd wanted it to happen. What else did they do? They bring in Will Ospreay. I've been talking to this guy up for months. You guys got to see him. If you haven't seen him in Rev Pro, he's from Rev Pro pretty much in British wrestling, which is on fire right now. And we've seen him in PWG and Evolve. But he had an unbelievably great match with Kushida, which I'm telling everyone, it was better than Nakamura versus Zayn. It was that good of a debut. The kid sells amazing. The kid has an arsenal of moves that would remind you in a way of Rey Mysterio, because when Rey Mysterio Jr. first came out, he did all this new stuff. So now you're pushing the cruiserweights. You have a new heel tweener champion, Naito. You still have Okada and Tanahashi. You have the Bullet Club. And slowly, things are starting to recover. You'll never replace Nakamura, but they've made it an interesting show. And Invasion Attack was excellent. The six-man match where Cody Hall got the stinger, it was the Bullet Club versus Tanahashi and Michael Elgin and what's-his-face, Yoshitatsu, who was coming back from an injury. That was slightly disappointing. All the other matches, our boys Roppongi Vice. Oh, my God, Aljon. Aljon, listen. So I just remembered something.
Go ahead. You bought the record.
Aljon.
You bought the record. You bought Rocky Romero's record. I didn't. No?
No, I heard the record. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called Three Trees Down or something. Or Tree City. Oh, John, this is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm being serious. Like King of Strong Style, the song, or the Roppongi Vice theme, sounds like straight out of Compton level rap versus like whatever.
My comparison.
It is honestly the worst album I might have ever heard. I'm being so serious with you. It is on SoundCloud. You can listen to it if you dare.
There you go.
But they're dropping like you just have to hear it. I can't even, like, my wife and I were just sitting there stealthified of the whole situation. Beside that, Roppongi Vice had a great match on Invasion Attack and won the Cruiserweight in NAACP. What?
What would you say that record make you want to puke? Did it make you want to puke?
I just didn't understand what was happening. Okay. He's like, remember that time we went and you did that DDT wrong to me? And I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, is this just really weird? You know what? You need to go ahead and find one. I'll send you a link to the worst song and maybe you can put it up.
Okay.
I'm not lying to you. It's really awful. I'm not sure. You know, I love Rocky Romero and I got his back and I thought this King of Strong stuff. We're the only podcast that gave King of Strong Style the track any kind of attention.
I know.
Anyway, aside from the worst release I've heard in my life, Roppongi Vice had a great match. So four matches worth checking out and a great title change. and Will Ospreay, the MVP boy. Man, this kid is something
that
else, dude.
That is great. That is great. Yeah, speaking of Kushida, Okada, and Ghetto, and Bobby Fish, and all that, you know, they did recently have a Ring of Honor. We're talking about that just quite frankly. We're talking about the Ring of Honor show.
Right.
Right. So, wow, that was really cool. I do have the taped Las Vegas, Nevada at Sam's Town that aired in syndication over the weekends over at Comet TV. And Okada and Ghetto and Kazuchika versus O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. That was pretty good. O'Reilly and Bobby Fish beat Okada and Ghetto.
Wow. Ghetto must have jobbed.
Yeah, how about that?
But Gato's the booker, so he can job. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. And they're great, great bookers. Great bookers there.
He's the best booker going right now.
Yeah, Kushida, Adam Cole pinned Kushida.
It's terrible. That.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
And then I was going to, let's move in. But yeah, another quality, you know, good show there.
You know, I feel like New Japan's brought up Ring of Honor a lot more than people would understand. In a lot of weird ways.
Oh yeah, yeah. Alex Shelley and Sabin versus Daniels and Kazarian. That was a good match too. I mean, yeah. Ring of Honor continues to have great small shows, and that's and I say small, I mean it's just easily digestible. You know what I mean? So you know, once again, great wrestling there, and also easily to digest as well. Lucha Underground.
Oh wow.
You have Tanza Kato versus Phoenix for the Underground Lucha Underground title. And Sexy Star making a name for herself.
Wow.
Which is going to be interesting because I know we all know what happens in the future.
You mean next year? I mean, that's how far away that spoiler is.
Yeah.
It's quite a spoiler.
It really is. But they've already shot it. They already shot it, right?
This is shot. Have we given everyone enough word that this is a spoiler?
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Okay, Sexy Star wins the title in Lucha Underground. It doesn't last very long, but she does win the title in a multi-person match. Matanza ended up holding the belt for a year. Rey Mysterio is the one that eventually pinned Matanza. And then at the end of this match, Sexy Star wins the title. A lot of people thought it was a bad decision. I get that. I mean, this show is ludicrous anyway. You know, you got flying dragons and, you know,
undead.
The undead. You even got the guy like Vampiro got a job. And and Vampiro's employed. And I like how they write people off the show. It's like, well, Conan must have, you know, Conan had some contract issues. He left. It's like, well, where's Conan? He died. You know, they write him off the show with deaths. But Sexy Star is champion to me. I think that's them just making a statement like, you know, we have intergender matches. And in fact, we can have a female champion, world champion. A lot of people thought it was a bad idea simply because Sexy Star is a mid-carder or low mid-carder to them. And she has, you know, done jobs. And maybe Eva Lise would have even been a better choice. But I get it. You know, you want to show folks, you want to one-up WWE and say, well, we have a world champion that's a woman and we're ahead of you. And I get what they're doing. But I think in the long run, people will look at it and say it was probably a mistake as far as generating. If she held the title for a long period of time, it would be different. But to do it real quick and then lose it, it kind of loses its luster and it probably hurts the belt.
Once again, it seems like Crash TV booking to me.
It's a little quick, but I mean the show's insane. You know, it's just insane. You know, I heard that the band doesn't play anymore, and the reason for that is the throne they have on the show is made of the band was murdered, and the bones are of the band are the throne. That's in That's in the comic book version. So that's the band has been its bones had been made into a throne.
Well, that's good. Good for the band. At least they're getting TV time, which is more than I can say.
The band was good. I thought they were really loud.
I'm putting over the band now, okay, folks.
We're trying.
We're doing our best. Hey, I tell you what. Any other closing remarks before we wrap this show up? We do have a And we do have a promo of the week coming from the Iron Sheik, the legendary Khosro.
Well, I did want to. Well, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura has been doing these house shows, and he's all over at least my Twitter. And you know, he needs to just go up to the active roster. They did a match. Him and Samoa Joe did a match in front of 350 people in Florida. So they're old friends, by the way. So let me tell you, if they do Nakamura Samoa Joe, guys, you're going to see some outstanding. It was cool to see him fight Ty Dillinger. Now, by the way, everybody, if you remember me talking about it a couple of weeks ago, that was like the very safe Nakamura match. So he can do a lot of different types of matches. He can get super dangerous like with Sakuraba, or he can get super safe with a rookie-ish guy like Ty Dillinger. So he's very multifaceted. Absolutely. That's our Nakamura talking for the day. It's always important I get that in.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did. So congratulations. I'm glad we stuck that in there somewhere in the show. We once again, we'd love for you to subscribe and like our show. Leave those 5-star reviews there at Pro Wrestling Cast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, and also YouTube. We're there as well. Feel free to like, share, subscribe. We would love for you to do that and support our show with all of our great links. In fact, if you wanted to book your Disney or Universal vacation or cruise, feel free to contact my wife, Kristen, at Magical Journeys Vacations Travel. She'll be happy to set you up in there as well. Of course, links to WWE Shop, WWE Network, High Spots, and Amazon, all located there at ProWrestlingCast.com. Steven, where can people find you?
Dr. Death Mark, and you can hear me and Dave Meltzer exchange love letters, basically.
You two are fast friends now.
Well, he tweets me. He's a really good guy. You know, I've paid for his site for many years now, but if you ask him a question nicely, he'll and it's a good question, he'll answer it. And I also wanted to give a shout out to Bob Holly for wishing my wife a happy birthday, because I thought, well, how fucking funny would that be if Bob Holly wished my wife a happy birthday? And he did, and he's very polite, and he's got a bad rap, and fuck anybody that doesn't like, he's a good guy. He just doesn't, if something goes wrong, you know, you got a problem, you know, there's something bad's gonna happen. But as long as you're polite and use manners, he's very polite, and I very much appreciate him wishing her happy birthday, because it was really fun.
Outstanding. Well, good deal. And we also wish your wife a happy birthday as well.
Oh, so, yes. Happy birthday, Terry.
We now leave you with the man himself, Mr. Iron Sheik. You know, he's such a great source of funny fodder through the wrestling community through the many years. Khosro still has an amazing Twitter follower audience. He tweets, or at least is the friends tweet on his behalf, just his interesting commentary on pop culture. Here he is once again, a classic WWF promo. Classy Freddie Blassie is there being interviewed by the famous Gene Mean Okerlund. So here we have the promo of the week, Mr. Iron Sheik. On behalf of Mr. Stephen Anthony, my name is Al John Goh. Thank you so much for pressing play. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And don't forget to tuck your head.
Nick Bockwinkel for life.
See you next time. Promo of the week.
Sheik Kalahani, the Iron Sheik. Have you ever heard the expression, man speak with forked tongue?
You know, Gene Mean, you're an intelligent American. You've been in the library. You read about a lot of different countries, a lot of different rhetoric. I just want to ask you a very simple question. I don't care if you're Jew American, or I don't care if you're all American boy, but I'd like to ask you a very simple question.
Sure, go right
Can
ahead.
You tell me, Barry Vandom and Mark Rotondo, what kind of Pan American band, what Olympic band, what the AAU band, what international compete that? Can you tell me anyone?
Well, I would have to go back to the library to check that out and go back to the record.
What do you mean you have to go to the library? You want to tell me? Are you done? Are you a fool? Mark Rotondo, Barry Vandom, every intelligent American know, just like my manager, Mr. Blassie, said, referee, that Uncle Rufus was your cousin or whatever. That's because you're cheating us. No, you don't believe the Mr. Blassie, you don't believe the Nikola Volkov. I'm sure you believe Mark Rotondo. You believe Barry Vandom. For sure you are another all-American Jew, man.
I thank you very much. Very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
Stay with us, folks, wrestling fans. Stay with us, wrestling fans.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.
Oh. Damn Google. Son of a bitch.
What happened? Did it attack you with the ads?
Stay with us, wrestling fans. More WWE superstars when we come back. WWF stars. I don't know. Okay.
Is that it?
Stand by, wrestling fans. More wrestling superstar challenge when WWF continues. I don't know.
Paul Orndorff versus a jobber.
Kamala versus a jobber. Okay.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, here's the big match. The Killer Bees versus the Hart Foundation. That's like all you get for a month.
That's all you get.
Like, that's the biggest match you get.
That is the Killer Bees. Oh, Piper and Blair, I make you humble.
How does he get away with talking like that? I mean, do you ever really wonder that? Like,
I know. He's like... Gene Minokulin, I don't know if you're a Jew man or you're all American boy.
All American Jew, my God.
I love it.
I mean, that's just
oh, that's hilarious. So funny. All right, we're done with the show.